In the name of God, the Holy and Undivided Trinity. The liar entered into Judas. That's really what the devil is, the liar. Mainstream Judaism and Christianity have pretty well held out against that strong dualism that pits the devil against God on a more or less equal footing, that denies monotheism, one God, only one God. Yet we know that there are evil tendencies in human beings. And we sometimes participate in evil. It's probably more productive for us to think of the devil, Satan, whatever it was that entered into Judas, less as a horror movie figure with horns and a tail, and more as an objectification of human evil. Human sin in the guise of human practicality. Remember Judas and that expensive jar of nard that he didn't think Mary should waste on anointing Jesus' feet? You might say Judas goes over to the dark side, valuing principles over people. Judas as the betrayer is introduced at the very beginning of our reading. Something bad is going to happen with Judas. Yet he's still at supper. He also has his feet washed by Jesus and receives food from Jesus. Yet Judas will betray Jesus, as will we. The washing, even by Jesus, doesn't remove that tendency toward betrayal, toward evil. But it can remove that blindness that allows us not to see our own complicity with evil. Mary washed and anointed Jesus' feet in preparation for his burial. Jesus washes his disciples' feet in preparation for their living without him, even the feet of Judas, who will betray him, even the feet of Peter, who will deny him. For the disciples in the ancient world, although feet were washed regularly, it was done by a slave, not a rabbi, not a teacher. For us, it's doubly embarrassing to have our feet washed. Like the ancient world, we only have that kind of body service done by those whose job it is to do. Other people who we usually pay, and usually people we don't know very well. Giving up control of our bodies, of ourselves, to another, a known other, a respected other, to an other who's not paid to deal with such things, seems too intimate, too weird, too uncomfortable to expose to someone we know and respect. Like Peter, we want to keep Jesus at arm's length, so Jesus only sees the nicer, cleaned up parts of us, not the ugly parts, not the parts that betray him, not the parts that need cleaning. To be the recipient of grace, God's grace or grace offered by someone else, is uncomfortable. An honest review of our own behavior and attitudes and actions towards God, towards ourselves, towards others, isn't pretty. For instance, we're more generally comfortable as doers, the ones who do the foot washing, rather than as receivers having our feet washed. It's one of the things that can be most difficult for those who are old or infirm or disabled, those who can't do things for themselves. Our society has made a toxic fetish of individual self-sufficiency, the idea that somehow we can each can and will pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, and that anyone dependent, disabled, anyone who must receive from others is somehow a taker or a freeloader. Slacker. On this subject, Dietrich Bonhoeffer once wrote, "Whoever despises another human being will never be able to make anything of him. Nothing of what we despise in another is itself foreign to us. The only fruitful relation to human beings, particularly to the weak among them, is love. That is, the will to enter into and to keep community with them. God did not hold human beings in contempt, but became human for their sake." So it's not really about the foot washing, is it? It's more about being exposed, as our Lenten practices or non-practices of prayer and almsgiving and fasting have exposed our need for grace, exposed the lie of believing that we're not in need of grace, that grace is somehow for the time when we've already cleaned up our own act. But the foot washing by Jesus is the pattern, the model, if you will, of what our life and community is supposed to look like. And it includes those who, like Judas, don't believe, and those who in word or deed, like Peter, deny that they're followers of Jesus. When we live intentionally in community with others, with family, with friends, as well as those we don't know, and even those who make us uncomfortable, even and perhaps most especially with those who we don't much like, when we privilege their needs and desires and aspirations over our own for the good of the community as a whole, we make room for the Spirit to work in and among us. As I've mentioned before, nothing says power like not using it. Jesus didn't have to wash feet. God didn't have to become human. But we live into the extravagant and unnecessary and abundant grace as we embody, as we make flesh of the church, and act as Christ's own body. Our humble service given to and received from others shapes us as God's agents to the same world that God loves so much, that he sent his Son to wash our feet.